There was something the other day in my grow tent. When I opened it up, I smelt the rat, and I was like, oh, I gotta find out who you are.
You smelled it?
Yeah.
That's bad.
I think I know the culprit.
Who?
It's one of my Hoya. And that's the thing, Hoya's really deceptive. Like, they'll keep growing while they're rotting, so.
So it was a Hoya?
I'm pretty sure it's a Hoya. I still haven't even gone in and pulled it out to look, but.
Gotcha.
I think I know who it is. I think it's my Lysandrosiana.
Lysandrosiana, how dare you. I just start my Rosita over because probably root rot, or I don't know. I can never get that one to do anything when it's in my care. But I have two pots because I put the cuttings in two different pots. Mm-hmm. I take care of them the exact same. Mm-hmm. They did probably dry out a little bit too much, but one of them had dry rot and one of them's just fine.
Yeah.
So I finally went in there and I was like, all right, pull you out. Definitely rotted all the roots on the one. And I'm just, it's so interesting how one plant will be like, no. And one plant will be like, this is fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, side by side. I also was like, should I just throw these away? The answer is yes. But I put them in a little jar of water to rehydrate them and then maybe hope they'll water root.
Sure.
I should just throw them away.
Rosita?
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't water root. I would throw it in a paper towel Ziploc bag.
Ooh, I can do paper towel Ziploc bag. That makes it easier for me. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, hey everybody. Welcome to Rough Around the Hedges podcast. I'm Kaylin.
And I'm Christine.
Today, you guessed it, we're talking about root rot.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah, so, you know, it'll happen to all of us. We're currently in January, which is almost prime season for root rot.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, because we're getting so much less light. We're probably watering our plants to keep up with the heat blasting out of the radiators.
Which is drying the house, which is drying your soil.
Yeah, but the plant's not getting light to use the water. And so, like, you know, there's, it's just a recipe for root rot, right?
Well, and I would also say root rot is just like plant pests. It's just like yellow leaves. Your plants are going to get it. Like, it's...
Yeah, at some point.
It's not...
Something won't line up.
Yeah.
It could be your fault. It could be not your fault. It could be just environmental circumstances.
Right, and then roots just die naturally. Like, that's...
Yeah.
As, you know, leaves die, roots die. It's just something that happens with plants. So if you don't necessarily, and that can lead to rot in itself if you're not careful.
And sometimes your plant might have a little rot and you don't know it, and it bounces back and you'll never find out.
You'll until never know.
Maybe you find some dead roots in the pot when you go to repot or something. Yeah. But
anywho.
I got root rot on an alocasia in a south window.
Mm.
The plant was right in the south window and somehow all its roots rotted and the plant looks sad. And I was like, what happened here?
Which one was that?
Dragon's Breath.
I just got a... Oh, Dragon's Breath is...
That's a diva. So anyway, there's two kinds of root rot. There's the wet stuff and there's the dry stuff.
Yep.
So the wet kind of root rot is when, let's say, you keep your soil too moist, the plant's not using the water, the plant roots suffocate, and then they just die, but they get black and mushy.
Yep.
They'll turn squishy, and sometimes they will just, like, disintegrate into the soil, and you won't even know they're there if it's been there for a while.
Right.
So, like, if you go to pull your plant out and you're like, where'd all my roots go?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what happened. Dry rot is the other kind of rot, which is what will happen if you let the plant get too dry and the roots will just, like, shrivel up.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll kind of look like the skeleton of real roots. They're just kind of like limp noodles, but they're, like, flat.
And they're super brittle.
Yeah, they have no substance to them, kind of papery. They'll usually still have their, like, noodle color. Mm-hmm. To them, they're not going to, like, turn black and brown. But they're no longer good roots. They're not viable at all.
Nope.
So then what sometimes will happen is you let the soil go too dry, the roots have dry rot, and then you go to water. That plant has no roots to take up that water.
Yep.
So, like, you still might get soil that stays wet for too long. But in that case, it's still not the wet kind of root rot.
It's just dry rot.
The dry rot, so.
And we'll talk over how to tell the difference between the two on your plant side, if you're not, that way you're not constantly having to pull plants out. Because that's something, the number one advice I see across the board whenever someone has any kind of issue
fertilize!
With plants is, well, no, I was going to say repot it.
I know, everyone likes to repot.
Everyone just says repot it, and no. Repotting, I guess it helps if you are in overwater and it just gets your plant into dry soil. So, yeah, that helps, but no.
Because you're just going to water it.
Yeah,
right,
don't
right.
Just stress out the plant.
If I'm diagnosing a plant problem, I'm not, like, if it's in a nursery pot and I want to look at the roots, it's easy enough to pull it out, look at the roots, put it back. I'm not disturbing the roots. I'm not repotting it at all. I'm just looking at them. You can't really do that in a ceramic pot.
Nope.
Especially if it's like roots are attached to the side of the inside of that ceramic pot. But
I was going to say, that's the super, super nice thing about LECA is you know when you have root rot because you can just pull the plant out
and smell it. Well, you, even LECA, the reservoir water will just smell like rot.
Yeah. Well, it'll be black. I've had
that
it
where, too. Yep.
I've seen black in my reservoir pots.
Yeah, you can really smell those ones.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. So let's start with wet rot. That's the extreme case is when you get to the point where you can smell decay, like, and you'll know when you go to your plant or you open up your tent or something, you smell decaying, like, plant material.
Yeah.
That's like root rot.
Vegetables that have
stayed out too long.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's really bad and you can smell it, that's definitely what it is. That's a problem.
Yeah.
I'm not a pull it out and repot it person at all. I, in fact, try to push that out as long as possible.
Oh, sure.
But, like, when your plant is sitting in the pot and you can move it, it's no longer stable.
Right.
Like, it might have some roots that are holding on, but, like, if you can move that plant like a joystick, you probably got some kind of rot happening.
You're losing something somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, if you can smell it, if the plant is not stable,
I would say, this is kind of another extreme case, the stem at the base of the plant.
It's shriveling
you'll
up.
Start seeing some rot there. Because root rot will eventually get to the plant. Or
ooh,
can get
I guess,
to the
yeah,
plant.
If it's traveling up.
Yep.
Depends on how much you're losing
and
below
the
surface.
And will start to deteriorate at the actual plant material stem. So you may start seeing that decaying and disappearing. And or if your plant is staying too wet and you've like potted it too deep, and the stem's decaying, that can also show that your roots are also decaying.
Mm-hmm. I usually, like, you know, my first indicator is this plant is not growing.
Mm-hmm.
And or this plant looks a little droopy.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to water it, and it does not perk up. Also, like, if you're getting a lot more yellow leaves than normal, usually it's going to be, like, the leaves that are at the bottom of the plant. The oldest ones are usually going to go first. So, like, if those are yellowing and falling off.
And I would say those tend to yellow and fall off in more rapid succession than
for sure more so than if you're just acclimating to lower light
and or leaves are just dying and or even pests like pests don't drop leaves they don't cause leaves to drop the way a rot does.
No, the leaf will kind of exhibit physical damage way faster than it's gonna just fall off,
right?
So yeah, those are all things to look for if you notice, you know, any of those in your plant. Like, don't you want to, what's the opposite of ruling out root rot? Rule it in. But yeah, if you think you have root rot and you've narrowed out a couple other things, like, definitely pull it out, check it out, see what's happening. Like I said, I'm one to wait.
Yeah.
And then it's always like, oh, I pull it out, I'm like, oh, this is definitely root rot.
Yeah. And I hate it. When I first started, everyone would always say, like, oh, root rot, the roots will be brown. Roots are brown. No matter what, especially if they're in soil, they get stained and like they're brown. So it's for a beginner, it can be really hard
to
determine what's a healthy root.
So touch them.
Yes.
So touch them.
Yeah. If they are mush and they, you know, in extreme cases, they will quite literally just fall off when you touch them.
But if you give them a little squeeze and they feel firm and plump and happy,
they're
fine. That's fine. They're not that kind of black.
If you give them a little squeeze and, you know, all the root matter breaks away or mushes away from you.
Yeah.
Or from the plant.
Well, and sometimes, like, you know, because the root is a whole, you know, length.
Yeah.
You get some good root on the one end and some bad root on the other. And, like, even, like, if you give it a little tug, you can pull off, like, the outer casing of the root.
Yeah, I've had that with LECA.
And leave some
of the good.
What's left of the not decayed root.
Right.
It's like it's, you know, in progress of rotting. I still don't like to leave those tiny bits on because I feel like their days are numbered.
When
I will cut it back so that all the bad root is off the plant when I'm trying to fix it.
I've most come in contact with that style when I'm doing a transfer from soil to LECA. And, like, so the soil roots shed while plant's getting transferred to LECA. And that's when I've started to... That's when I see the, like, weird little stringy bit of healthy root while you're ripping away. And I have left those just so it didn't leave the plant with nothing.
Oh, okay.
And they've been fine.
Yeah.
If you have wet rot, I mean, what you want to do is pull away all the material, all the rotting material as much as you can.
Yeah, cut it off.
Because
if you leave any bit of the rot on, it's just going to spread.
So yeah, if you, you don't, I mean, you can just pull, cause that's kind of fun sometimes, just pulling the rod away. Yeah. But you definitely want to go back and like cut above where that ended.
Well, and, you know, it depends on the plant too. Cause I'm thinking about alocasia, how they grow from the little bulb. Usually when the rot happens, like that whole chunk of root is mm-hmm. coming off that whole little bulb. Mm-hmm. So like, I'll leave like, you know, like say, let's say there's only five good roots left. Like yeah. they're attached, they're still on, but like everything else is gone, gone.
Sure.
But yeah. Cut off all the rot that's there. Do people sprinkle cinnamon on their root rot? It's an antifungal.
It's an antibacterial.
Antibacterial.
I am a big proponent of doing cinnamon on any cuts I do.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
I have a mix. I just made a mix of rooting hormone and cinnamon. And so anytime I do like a chop, I like just dump the whole thing in that, let it sit for 10 minutes to do a little bit of a callus and then throw it in water or whatever I'm doing. Mm.
I don't do that at all.
That's the thing. So like I've kind of been doing that from the start. So when people are like, oh, Monstera nodes always rot away. I've never had that happen is it because I've been doing that or is it because
you had a happy plant?
Right. So that it's hard to tell. But it's one of those things where I've had success doing that method. So I'm just going to keep doing it.
I do have the rooting powder. I haven't used it. Cause what happens is, you know, you put it on the cutting or whatever, and then you put it in water and then it just feels like
it just goes away.
Yeah. It just
disintegrates. My off. Theory is that, well, at least it's in the water. So it's still doing it.
Yeah. If it absorbs the water, it'll absorb the chemical powder or
whatever it is.
So on your Monstera note, I have healthy Monstera, and when I cut it,
yeah,
I have not had it just rot on me.
Right.
I've had a couple pieces get a little close, but like generally I find when I propagate a healthy plant, like a healthy happy plant, it is healthy and happy to root and regrow.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to propagate a plant that's not happy or that's been neglected or has been in super duper low light for a very long time, they are way more reluctant to make themselves into a new plant.
Sure.
So.
Not necessarily they won't. It's just.
Yeah, it just it could be a long journey to make it happen.
Yeah.
Like instead of having a new plant in 2 to 3 months, you have 2 to 3 months before you even see something start happening on your cuttings. Right. That's kind of been my experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't think Monsteras are hard to propagate at all. People just don't give them enough light and then complain mm-hmm. that they're dying because they cut up the plant that wasn't doing well in the first place. That's my hot take for today.
You want to get all the rot off ideally. If you caught it ahead of time, you'll still have root on your plant, healthy root.
Yeah,
that's
waiting until all the roots are dead. Yep.
That's where I would recommend down potting.
Depending on how much mass is left. Absolutely.
If you've lost 2/3 of your roots, but you still have, you know, a good chunk of healthy root, down pot, because the reason why you got here in the first place was overwatering. And the least thing you want to do is keep doing that. So I down pot quite often when that happens to me.
Actually, I just had my alocasia stingray. Mm-hmm. I discovered it was floppy in the pot. Uh-huh. And it was in like a big, like 10 to 12 inch pot. And I was like, this is not right. And like the plant had been not really growing, putting out smaller leaves. So once I noticed it was tippy, immediately I was like, okay, it's got root rot. Pulled it out, checked it out. It still had like a couple good roots. Mm-hmm. So I think I ended up putting them in a tall six inch pot. And then, of course, I harvested all the corms and babies. And it's interesting because I have the pot of soil over there. And because it's not old soil. So yeah. I'm like, I'm going to just take a couple scoops of this and throw it into my potting mix. I really don't even see a lot of root bits. So what rotted really rotted.
Yeah.
And somehow it didn't totally die completely, which that was the same case with my green velvet earlier this summer. Where it had root rot and it didn't totally die. It was just unhappy, but it still managed to push through. And I'm like,
that's kind of the beauty of alocasia.
But also it's an alocasia. My instinct is they should just, you know,
die. As we've said, if you have a healthy corm, it's going to try to live. It's going to come back. And alocasia is the one I probably have experienced the most root rot on as far as genera to pinpoint.
Root rot and alocasia and Hoyle.
So if you're in a situation where you have lost all root, I think you really need to assess, one, the plant, and two, where the rot is stopped. Because if you just have lost all root. Say we're on an alocasia. You've lost all the root, but the corm's still happy. You're not getting a squishy corm or anything like that. Would you put that in soil? My instinct is to put it in
moss.
Water slash moss.
I would do moss.
Depending on the size of the
just
plant.
Just to get it started.
Yeah.
Once we get like a couple roots poking out, I could either do soil in high humidity or put it in water. I've done both. I actually am not a huge... Moss is never my first go-to.
Right.
But like... Depending on the size of the alocasia, I feel like that would be like the solution.
Well, and moss is an antibacterial, has antibacterial properties to it. Yeah. So that's going to help keep rot at bay while you are redoing it.
I just kind of like, you know, if my plant really needs the ICU, then I go to moss. If I can get away with doing another thing before going to the plant ICU, I will.
Yeah. And I, if we are in that extreme sense, I always... extra humidity.
Definitely.
If it's big enough, if you don't have a tent and it's small enough, put it in a bag. Like, give it...
I love a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, give it
or get a clear tote.
Yeah.
Those are easy ways to add humidity without having a tent or a cabinet.
Yeah, because that at that point, and watch your watering. So you know, if we're in moss, get your mouse wet. Don't keep it...
Your mouse wet?
Keep your moss... Sorry, I shouldn't say wet either. Damp, not sopping wet. And don't... you want to keep the moss... a little fluffy and light. You don't want to go super dense.
Yeah, keep some air in there.
Yep, because that's, again, we're trying to avoid too much water to root or to rot stuff. I would get that damp, throw it in a tote / Ziploc bag, and leave it.
Don't touch it.
You're giving it the humidity that it needs to, you know, push out new roots. You ideally are giving it enough heat that it's going to be nice and happy. Just leave it alone. That moss is not going to dry out if it's in an enclosed space. I leave moss for... months in containers
without airtight.
Yep. That do not need to get watered.
Yeah, it'll just stay in there.
And depending on the plant was fairly happy to begin with. It's going to push out roots real fast, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes when you hit the little trifecta for conditions that they want to grow in, especially alocasia, they are just so chuffed.
Yeah, I would say
to
like
start growing again.
Within a month, you'd be ready to put back in soil.
Even sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to be careful that you're not overwatering right away again.
Make sure. Well, you know, if your plant was happy to begin with, you were probably giving it enough light. But if you weren't giving enough light, don't expect these kind of results.
Right.
It's going to have to recover.
Anything else on wet rot?
Just make sure you're getting all the rotted bits off. That's important because it will spread. And, you know, sometimes people like if it's a monstera cutting and you have a wet stick. Either end of that cutting can experience rot. Sure. So you can dip that in like the cinnamon. Some people, before it even starts to rot, they'll like dip it in wet wax. What do you call wax? Melted wax. There we go.
Yeah.
Wet wax. And that didn't sound right.
I saw
but that will like seal up the two ends and people have had success. Yeah.
I'd be worried about potentially burning the plant. I don't know.
No, because especially like a soy wax, it's a lower temperature. Sure. So like you could easily dip it in because they have like even the skin safe stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not.
Oh, you're going into an adult store to buy wax candles. For your.
Yeah. Hey,
this is for my
totally
plants.
Works. No one's going to judge you there. They're like, oh, you're buying a candle? Nice.
It's for my plants.
They'll be like, sure it is. Sure it is. It's like when I go to Eco Garden and they're like, for your plants, right? I'm like, yeah, my house plants. And they're like, sure. Fuck off. Come over and look at them, damn it.
The one thing you want to... Oh God, you don't want to disturb roots too much, especially in this time of year, but...
If it's root rot, that's an exception.
I've had root rot hide from me. So, like, you pull a plant out of its pot to see if things are squishy. Like, there can be root inside
the root
of the soil mass that you can't see.
Because it hasn't got that bad yet.
Right. So that's just something you kind of have to keep an eye on.
If it's not getting worse, don't worry about it.
True.
If it does start to decline, then you will start to see it show up. And if the plant still isn't perking up.
Yeah.
Like, definitely rule out your other options as well, too. But
sure.
Like, that was what I was, that was definitely what I've tried to do when I know I have some root rot is, like, I just have my fingers crossed that there's enough viable root in there that I can just keep it growing normally and just overcome the root rot without having to touch it.
Right.
In this case, it didn't work. This is with my pilea. Mm-hmm. Didn't work. Mm-hmm. So I ended up, I just delayed the inevitable, really.
Yeah.
But whatever.
And, you know, in the absolute worst cases, you can just take a cutting.
Yep. That's one nice thing about root rot is usually it's starting at the roots growing up the plant, but you can always take a cutting of the top of the plant where the root rot hasn't gotten to yet.
Yep.
So definitely not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Not ideal, but it's not like your plant is totally gone.
Right.
Although, unless you have a teeny tiny one, that's easier to off.
Yeah.
It's just so small. Dry rot.
Dry rot. This one's fun.
This one is trickier.
It is trickier because I'm going to mostly speak on Hoya because I don't think I've ever experienced dry rot in almost in anything else.
Yeah. I definitely, depending on what the plant looks like, you need to rehydrate it first. So my first thing, once I've taken off all the papery, rotty bits, put it in water. And it's not that I'm necessarily water rooting it, but I am putting it in water so it can absorb what it wants to drink.
We should talk about how it looks different, though, because it looks so different. Dry rot
looks different
than what rot on the plant itself.
So, yeah, like a Hoya gets wet or gets dry rot. The leaves are going to shrivel up and get all wrinkly.
Yep. And so this is where I'm a big proponent of don't treat Hoya like succulents. A lot of people will say water when leaves shrivel, and that's really not a good practice to get into because
you're just stressing them out.
When you start to get dry rot, it's going to look like a succulent that needs to be watered. Shriveled. And so people will water it and they're like, why is it not pumping back up? Why are the leaves still being shriveled? That's your first sign.
Yeah.
If your leaves are shriveled, if you're someone that waits till your leaves are shrivelly, you water it and they don't plump back up.
Or it's a one-time thing. You waited too long.
Yeah, it happens.
But like, yeah, I agree. If you water it and it doesn't plump up, there's something with the roots that it's not able to take up the water that it needs. Yep. So you need to check that out stat.
And if you aren't, if you pull out and number one, you don't see root mealies. And number two, you see those real papery, shriveled up, brittle roots, which again can be hard in Hoya because there are Hoya betulinoids and fungi are a fantastic example, not fungi, sorry, betulinoids of having brittle roots to begin with.
Mm.
So, but they may be brittle, but they don't break away like a dry rot does for me.
Just because they're a brittle root?
Yeah. They're brittle as in, if you mess with them too much, they're going to break away. But it's not like I touch you and it breaks away like dry rot does.
So they're fragile, but they're not the same.
Right.
Okay. So it's easy enough.
It takes some time to distinguish the two.
Yeah.
This is one where you'll start to, in my experience, you see two things. Either the tips of your vines of new growth are going to shrivel up and die, which also can just happen if your plant is just drying out.
Oops.
Anyway. And leaves are falling off from the outermost. It's like
the older leaves and the newer leaves.
I want to say the newer
leaves. Because the newer leaves, they'll stop growing. They'll just fall right off. And then all of a sudden, your new leaf that you were looking at is gone.
Yeah. That's what I think I experienced. But yeah, you want to rehydrate that plant right away. What I honestly do anytime I see dry rot on a Hoya is I just start it over. I full on just start it over. I don't even try to resuscitate the roots. I take cuttings. If it's a woody Hoya, I put it straight into a glass of water and let it rehydrate that way. That's how I've been the most successful in getting the leaves to not completely abort.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, you know, a more fleshy Hoya, I swear by the plastic bag paper towel method. It's so nice to rehydrate plants. I just don't even deal with trying to regrow dried roots.
I know I have because I like to, for science, see if I can do it. And I have had success. And now that I have this stupid Rosita, I'm like, do I even want to bother with it? I'm like, yes, for science.
Yeah. And also, you kind of have to take in, dry rot's one where you have to kind of watch or pay attention to your repotting schedule because dry rot could happen if your soil's too old because your soil's not holding on to water. So then your roots aren't holding on to water.
So even if you're watering on your same schedule, it's not having the same effect on the plant because the soil's shit.
Yep.
Boo.
This is also, you'll see dry rot in plants. I saw someone the other day in a Hoya group that was singing the praises of terracotta with Hoya. And I'm like, I don't understand how you do this. But terracotta, just again, stuff that's potentially going to, that's a variable that could cause root dry rot. If you are an underwaterer.
Because it's just wicking water away and it's porous. So that water is just going bye-bye.
Yep.
There are so many good tools out there for overwaterers, and there are good plants to have for overwaterers, and people don't talk about those enough.
Yeah.
Like terracotta, if you are a waterer and you really just want to water those plants and they're getting
every
enough
3 days,
light,
if you want to water your plants every 3 days,
put it in terracotta, it would be great. Do a super chunky mix. You can get away with watering, especially if your plant, like, you know, get a calathea that likes to never dry out. Get a begonia that needs to stay moist. Like, there are so many good options for overwaterers out there. But also, there are the people who are underwaterers.
Like me. Which, everything lives in plastic.
Yep. What else do we want to say about root rot? Dry rot?
Dry rot. Dry rot, I mean, yeah, I'm a proponent of just taking props across the board.
Oh, another thing, too, like, depending on the size of your plant, if you have dry rot and you have a very big plant, that plant might not be able to grow enough roots to sustain that entire plant mm-hmm. without some parts dying off. So let's say you have a 3-foot-tall philodendron. You got some root rot happening. You don't have any roots left.
Yep.
You could stick the base of that in water to water root it, but because the top part of that plant is so big, you might not have success with that.
Right.
It might be better to, yeah, what Christine said, take a top cut, kind of start it over that way. You can cut up the midsection, you can leave the butt cut, but like, you want to make it achievable for the plant.
Yeah, and we've kind of talked about this in other episodes with just like basic pruning too, but there is an equivalent exchange that needs to happen.
Yeah, like if you lose so many roots, you got to lose so much foliage. Yeah.
So I guess if it was something where I'm hanging on to a plant, again, talking Hoya, if I'm going to hang onto a Hoya that's had rot, I'm cutting back to probably just like the first couple nodes on the thing just to give it the most success as well. And that's the thing. Hoyas will kick back on and I'll have, you know, growth in a few months.
And it totally sucks to lose a big plant like that. But
you can throw the vines in a baggie and have your insurances for more because those are going to root and mm-hmm. then you will have another plant.
Yep. And like me with my pilea that I got root rot.
You had like 60.
I totally did. I split up all the babies, grew them into soil. And actually, the pileas are nice because since I like so much water and they root really readily, like I just straight up took the babies that were in there mm-hmm. with no roots because it rotted, stuck them in soil, kept the soil moist. They made new plants in like a week. Mm-hmm. And then I did have to. I know that top cut that I was trying to save because I wanted to keep as much plant intact as possible. It did get smaller and smaller. So I probably could have made that easier on myself by mm-hmm. just taking the top cut to begin with instead of trying to get the whole giant plant to root because it was not successful.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
I was going to say, I have actually, I think I have caused rot in my plants from support poles rotting.
What kind of material are the support poles?
Well, so if you go to a Home Depot or whatever, and they just have like the basic, like what even is that wood?
Dowel? A dowel? You're just buying a dowel?
Yeah.
You ideally want to get bamboo.
Yeah.
Bamboo is less likely to, it rots a lot slower.
Yeah.
You could also do cedar.
Yeah.
But if you get the dowel,
yeah,
that's... It's like the it's square a good things. Solution up front,
yeah.
But it is not a good solution long term or for the ultimate longevity of your plant.
Yep. Or even I've done chopsticks for small stuff.
The chopsticks rot.
That rot can in the soil cause rot on
especially
your roots.
Especially if you're doing them in Leca.
Mm-hmm.
Kaylin has found that the green plastic coated garden stakes.
Oh, I love those.
They work really well. They're great for Leca because they're plastic coated.
Just be careful because I have had this last summer, like the plastic coating broke away.
And then it's metal and then
it
rusted.
So just be careful with that regularly. Stuff. But, yeah, or just, what was I going to say? The plastic,
poles are great.
The plastic poles are great. They come in a variety of sizes.
This is something that I should have thought about before I bought the obscene amount I currently have. Kara went out and just bought a box on like eBay of like 50.
Oh, sure.
I've been going to the store and buying individuals.
One at a
time. Well, not one at a time. I'll buy like 5 to 10 at
a
time.
Sure, yeah.
But I'm buying $2 2-foot steaks over and over again when I could just bulk order them. So if this is going to be something that you would like to do, that is what I recommend. Don't just buy them one by one. Get a bulk order. Get in on it with a friend. If you're like me, you always need more steaks. It's a problem. And then, of course, I got into outdoor plants, so I've been using my good indoor stakes to like hold up my rose bush or to support for my dahlias, or you know, this plant's getting a little tippy and it's blocking out the light of this other guy, let's put this in so the bleeding heart doesn't shade out the lungwort. So yeah, this summer I just went and bought like the huge pack of like 4-foot bamboo stakes because I was like, I'm sick of being out.
What I did is I went and bought the like 8-foot ones.
8-foot bamboos?
Mm-hmm. And just cut them down.
Nice.
The downside of those is they're real thin.
Really?
The real long bamboo, at least the ones I found, real, like the Viago or whatever the brand is.
Usually the packs I get have a variety of thin and thick.
Yeah, or at least the one I bought. They seem to be real thin. So yeah. It kind of is nice, but
it's a natural product you're buying. They have very.
Yeah. Especially when you have plants that need multiple supports inside of them.
Yeah. It's nice to have, like, you know, the trellises with the plastic bottoms and whatnot. Do keep in mind if you have raw metal going inside, like your LECA, that's not going to last very long. So you could get some plasti dip
or
coat that quick before you stick it in there.
This is the only time I'm like, plastic wins across the board because that shit does not rot.
Yeah, it totally works. Totally works. And then hopefully we're reusing it lots.
Yeah.
Actually, this is a little on topic but off topic. Plastic lids. If I need to hold up a cutting in a wider mouth jar, getting like a plastic lid from like a to-go cup.
And just like
I can cut it in whatever shape I need. And like I usually like cut a slit in it so I can get the plant in easy. But like, oh man.
You know what I've seen?
Those are so handy. Pool noodles.
And just foam. Styrofoam or pool noodles or whatever. They cut it.
Yeah, like the pool noodle idea. Mm-hmm. It's not pool noodle season, so I haven't been able to get one. Although I do have, over by the sink, I have the pipe insulation, the black pipe insulation, which is approximately this big. Mm-hmm. So I could make a couple noodles out of that if I felt like it.
Yeah.
What else about rot?
I don't know.
We buzzed through that. We stayed on topic. Look at that. That's unlike us. I definitely, like, plants have always been a fun little, you know, side project, side hobby. There's always something to do with plants. So, like, even I like to practice saving things. So, like, even if it's a plant, I'm not like, oh, I want to keep this. Like, I will try to revive it just for the sake of reviving it. Because, like, if this one doesn't matter to me, the stakes are so low, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then one day the stakes are going to be a lot higher on a bigger, fancier plant or, like, a more expensive plant or whatever, a more sentimental plant. And I'm going to want to have the skills to save it. So I definitely practiced a lot on low stakes plants to be able to get better at doing the things.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how much success you have when you don't care about the outcome. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, right.
But then that'll just, you know, it'll help prepare you for when there's something you're like, I can't let this die.
Yeah.
So definitely practice. Get your time in. Yeah. Get your flight hours.
Yeah. Get your flight hours. It's true. Like, man, your growing hours.
What else did I root rot recently?
What have I
rotted? It really was the stingray, man.
Man, I was going to say the Hoya, 95% of the time, it's root or dry rot. But when they root rot, they root rot. Oh, like, yeah. It is all gone. My Daiichi, that one is one I started over because, like, the stems just full on were like, I'm gone. The stem was just fully like gone at the base of the plant. It just like pulled away. I was like, crazy. Well,
then you know it's root rot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Hoya is also great when you do get root or wet rot. Like, they bounce back so fast, especially if they're in LECA. I've had like a giant fungi plant that it went down to like a third of its roots. I put it right back in LECA and within a couple weeks it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like roots were back pointing out at the bottom of the pot. So they go fast. Again, it's all about if you have a successful plant to start with, they'll kick back for real good.
And remember, if you want to learn how to grow a successful, happy plant, look back on our lighting episodes. Natural light if you got windows, grow lights if you don't.
Yeah.
Can't stress it enough. I was thinking about light meters today and how the first step before I bought one, I was like, it's $40.
Oh.
And like,
best $40 I ever spent.
I was apprehensive about it, but like, and like, I don't use it every day because I set my lights up and they don't change, so I don't need to. But like, that has been so instrumental.
I
know exactly what kind of light they're getting. There's no guessing. It's all science right there. You have the handy dandy chart from Daryl Chang to be able to look and assess. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, then you get a feel for what's actually happening. And I just, man, I don't regret that purchase for a second.
No.
I love it. And so, yeah, I tell people to get light meters all the time. And like, yes, you can use the free one on your phone, but it's nice to just have the physical meter.
I still just don't trust those. I don't trust them.
I I'd have to check them against LEDs. I was gonna say, but they're not supposed to be that good with LEDs.
I won't be convinced their accuracy until I have them right next to a light meter. I'll have to like get an app, measure the same exact spot at the same exact time with a light meter. And if it's
totally better than nothing. It gets you close enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Christine.
Better than nothing. I don't know.
Better than nothing.
I don't trust it. Just the way how lenses work, I don't trust it.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, sometimes for some phones, you have to put like, a diffusing like sheet of paper over it. And you don't know that. People don't know that.
Because you're a photographer. How much light do you need to actually have a decently lit photograph?
Way more than you think.
Right. So how could that possibly be sane that it's... How can that possibly be accurate?
I don't know. I don't know how programming apps works, Christine. If you want, I think I still have like Lux on my phone. We could pull out my light meter and go to the grow tent right now and check it out. Just argue on the podcast for the last 10 minutes. I told you so. Oh, shit. You were right. And then, like, you know, go back and, you know, every so often measure your lights to make sure things are good. Yeah,
I need to do that. My lights are starting to get to that age where I'm like, I should probably check and make sure that they're not dying. Yeah.
Well, like, what's nice is I kind of turn all my grow lights off in the summer because the plants go outside.
That's fair.
And so when they come back in, then I'm reevaluating, remeasuring, you know, everything gets a fresh start. Mm-hmm. And new placements, so I am able to, you know, check the things.
Yeah. Though part of my argument is that stuff's growing. The lights obviously are working, so.
Well, could it be growing better? That's something you have to learn as someone who's, you know, freshly getting into these kind of things, is like, you see the plant growing, great, but.
That doesn't mean it's like, thriving.
Oh, man, I came across an argument last night I had with that one girl on Facebook about. My ZZ and my snake plant are thriving in my office with no windows. And I was like, hey, they're not thriving. And she's like, yes, they are. And I'm like, no, they're not. They're growing, but they're not thriving. And this is what thriving plants look like. And then we got in a fight and she called me a bully. Sorry, I'm just direct.
Yes.
But also, like, I've seen how fast a Dracaena grows and how fast a ZZ grows. And, like, you can't tell me one leaf every 5 months is thriving because it's not.
Which...
So, like, it's different when you... It's you really have to see it for yourself. And, like, I'm... If you're, you know, newer to plants and you're listening to this and you're listening to my voice right now, if your plant is not putting out one new leaf a month, depending on the size, Pothos will put out like one new leaf a week because they're crazy. But like a Philodendron, if it's not putting out one new leaf a month, it's not getting enough light.
Right.
They can do better. They can and they will do better. So
you wouldn't have a new leaf on a ZZ every month, though.
Oh, Christine, I have multiples.
Well, yeah, like I have.
It's the depths of winter.
I'm up to six and my leaves coming in on my ZZ right now.
Hell yeah. My ZZ Raven has new leaves coming out.
Yeah.
And they definitely look like winter leaves because they are not as robust as the other ones. But, like, can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah.
And it's using up its water in the pot, too. And I'm like, who are you?
Yeah.
I don't want to put you in a bigger pot. I will. I don't want to. It's a monster.
Yeah. That's another one. Put that on the list of plants we need to go see in nature.
Azizi?
Yeah. I want to go to Africa and see. Aren't they in Africa?
Zamechiola zamifolia. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Oh. I love my black ZZ plant.
Yes.
God damn. Plant of the week?
Yeah. Now that we've officially stopped talking about root rot, we'll call it a little early today.
It's all good. We can talk about plant of the week for three minutes. Shit.
Oh.
I only thought of one plant of the week, and that was last week's. Mm-hmm. I gotta think of another one. Who's a happy guy that I like?
I'm thinking in my brain of my plants. I put all my alocasia in my grow shelf because they were getting kind of sad sitting on the windowsill this winter. Which of those do I like right now? Actually, no. I take it all back. I'm going to do my pink Thanksgiving cactus.
Ooh, is he blooming?
Not right now. He had bloomed, though. I got a Thanksgiving cactus as a going away present when I switched jobs last year. He was just a little pink guy. He's still in the original pot. I probably should up-pot him this summer. But he's been growing like crazy, and he bloomed. I think I have pictures of him blooming I can put in the Discord. He's like a real nice hot pink.
Nice. I'm going to stay on this pink plant trend. my plant of the week is going to be my pink Dalmatian Aglaonema.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to say it's a double up because it was 11 months ago.
I was going to say that's been a while. 11 months ago.
But I was just looking at him the other day because I was checking if he needed to be watered. And usually the pink Dalmatian has like light pink spots. But it had like bubblegum pink, like the nice medium pink for his spots. And he's just doing his thing, loving life, loving my new east facing window. He's super big, super happy. Just an easygoing joy of a plant to grow. So pink Dalmatian is going to be my plant of the week.
Love it.
Yeah, congratulations.
Good job, plant of the week. Thanks for growing in the wintertime.
Ooh, Christine, did we get new stickers?
No. I mean, yes, but no. I have to get them cut and printed. And I have three.
You have the designs.
I have two or three designs made up. I just have to get them
made
and printed out.
Well, when you get those made, guys, we're going to have new stickers.
Yeah, it's going to
be. We have some new stickers. Eventually, we'll have more. Ooh, and we haven't made the formal event for it yet, but coming up at the end of the month is the orchid show at Como Conservatory. So the Orchid Society puts us on every year. It's a 2-day event for the Winter Carnival in St. Paul. But the Orchid Society, the members will bring their orchids that are blooming in and they get displayed in the conservatory. And then it is a ticketed event. Tickets are $8 as of recording. They're not on sale yet.
Mm-hmm.
You will have to get a ticket for a specific time slot. But we are thinking thinking of growing as a group.
Yeah. So
we're going to make an event and we're going to have this.
So this episode is coming out the 19th. So it's the 19th right now, if folks are listening when this comes out. So the 25th is when we're going. So it's this week.
Oh, yeah.
It's this weekend if you're listening as release day.
When you hear this episode, we'll definitely have an event made. So you can check out the Discord and find out the details. And then we are going to try and have everyone purchase their tickets for a specific time slot. So we can all walk through together, look at the plants. And then they do sell orchids at the end of the show as well.
Yeah.
Is this from our orchid episode, I think I've determined I want to get a small one. Like
the micro?
Little baby ones. They're so cute.
I think I'll do a Phalaenopsis.
See, if I'm going to get a Phalaenopsis, I'm going to buy a Clarence one from like Trader Joe's.
But if you buy one there, you know it's going to have had a better start in life.
A better start than what I'm able to give it?
No, like, because you know sometimes Trader Joe's / the stuff you're getting from the larger nurseries, sometimes you run the risk of one bugs too. It just wasn't given the best conditions to start life. Whereas something that's already been growing in the Minnesota temperaments might be a little harder. Grower. I don't know. We'll see.
We might fall in love with something at the show.
That's way too expert level, and I just do it anyway. And
we're gonna plant. We'll figure it out. Alyssa, it wasn't too scary on orchid care.
Yeah.
In fact, it sounds a lot easier than I expected it to be. So, yeah, a little cork mounted one.
That'd be cute.
Although the only thing is, I'm not watering that every day.
Maybe get we'll have to meter that setup of some sort. Maybe
could do it. What I could do is I could hang it under the grill lights. Put a nylon cord into a jar of water below it and then have it sticking up to the moss. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what's available. We'll see what I'm in the mood for at the time of the orchid show. So we'll get into orchids, baby.
It's going to be great.
Cool. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us in this lovely, chilly January day. Thanks for tuning in. Follow us on Instagram. We're Rough Around the Hedges podcast.
Join the Discord. Come chat with us.
As always, thanks for being here. Give us reviews. Let's do root rot horror stories. Yeah, if anyone's got any stories worse than what we had, I want to hear them.
Yeah.
Okay, kids, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.